ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। ॐ यो ब्रह्माणं विदधाति पूर्वं यो वै वेदांश्च प्रहिणोति तस्मै तं ह देवम् आत्मबुद्धिप्रकाशम् मुमुक्षुर्वै शरणमहं प्रपद्ये। We have completed the fourth shloka. This fourth shloka in the Dakshinamurti Stotra explicitly states that the knowledge that we acquire through our sense organs has its roots in the Atman. It is like the light kept inside a pot full of holes, coming out and lighting up various objects outside. नाना छिद्र घटोदर स्थित महादीप प्रभा भास्वरम् ज्ञानम् यस्य तु चक्षुरादि करण द्वारा बहिः स्पन्दते जानामीति तमेव भान्तम् अनुभाति एतत् समस्तम् जगत् तस्मै श्री गुरुमूर्तये नम इदम् श्री दक्षिणामूर्तये। Obeisance to him, श्री दक्षिणामूर्ति, who is the guru, whose consciousness is flowing out through the senses like the eyes, etc., even as a powerful light kept within a pot full of holes flows out through the holes, following whom the resplendent one, this whole world is shining and thinks, I know. Shankaracharya demonstrates here the phenomena through this example of a pot, upturned pot with many holes, but with a bright light burning within and the beams of its inner illumination shooting out through these holes. What is the pot? The mind-body complex or body-mind complex. So the Atman lends its light in the mirror of the heart or mind, and the mind lends it to the sense organs called indriyas, and the indriyas go out and then take the picture, and whatever they illumine is called object or the jagat, and they bring the information with the light borrowed from the mind and presents it to the mind, and the mind collates, unifies all the information gathered through all the five sense organs, makes a composite whole and presents it to the buddhi, and the buddhi then recognizes this is the object they already know, and with the help of background of this pure consciousness called also Chidabhasa, it says, I know this is a pot, I know this is a man, etc. Wherever the sense organs are directed and they light up, and the information called knowledge is passed to the buddhi, and that's how the whole world, its existence is illumined, its existence is cognized, and at the same time, even when the body-mind complex subsides, still it remains in the form of, I know, I know. For example, in deep sleep, the only thing that we know is the unmanifested form of the entire universe, including the body-mind complex. Here we have to take note of a very special phenomena. With the withdrawal of body and mind, the entire world vanishes. With its coming into action, again the whole world springs up. So, world, body, mind are intimately related. In deep sleep, these do not vanish, but they attain what we call the seed state, bija avastha, that is what we call karana avastha, karana prapancha, and they remain there until the jivatma wakes up. And again the whole world springs into existence. Important point, if there is no Chidabhasa, light of the consciousness getting reflected in the mirror of the mind, it cannot recognize I am the mind, much less recognize I am the body, and still much recognize there is a world for me to cognize and to interact. So, let us sum up the fourth shloka. First, it is Brahman, the pure consciousness that projects this entire universe, of course, through the medium of the body-mind complex. And who is that Brahman? I am that pure consciousness, so I alone manifest and illumine the whole world, and without me the world itself doesn't exist. Again, a special point to be noted. The person, the Jivatma, who says, I know, Brahman doesn't say, I know, but it is the consciousness of Brahman plus the mind in which it gets reflected, that is called Chidabhasa. Abhasa means reflection. And it is this Chidabhasa plus the reflecting mirror, which is called the mind. Chidabhasa plus the mind, we can also call it Buddhi, which is called Jivatma, and which says, I know as well as I do not know. What does it mean? In the waking state and dream state, it says, I know. And in deep sleep state, it says, I do not know. So, it is a witness for both knowing as well as not knowing. The Chidabhasa continues until liberation is attained. This is the first point. Second, it is I who create, maintain and destroy the world. Without me, there is no world. But I remain without the world. Srishti, Sthiti and Laya. Creation, sustenance and dissolution are done by me with the help of the Chidabhasa. This can very well be understood by the example of a dream state. We create the dream state, we maintain it so long as it continues, and when we wake up, it is we again who destroy it. Third point, this knowledge that I am the creator, I am the sustainer, and I am the destroyer of the entire world, is the knowledge that liberates me. And I am able to obtain this liberating knowledge only by the grace of God, who manifests in the form of my own Guru. So here is a beautiful idea. Karma Siddhanta is entirely dependent upon this third point. I am the doer, I am the knower, I am the doer, and I am the experiencer. I am the knower, I am the gnata, I am the doer, I am the karta, and I am the experiencer. I am the bhokta. Gnata, karta, and bhokta. And in that order, these three constitute entire karma siddhanta. Fourth point, this knowledge that the whole universe is nothing but Brahman is the very essence of all the scriptures that existed in the past and are going to exist in the future. So what is the lesson? Fifth point, obtain the grace of the Guru, which is equivalent to the grace of God. Saruhim tadviddhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. By the grace of Guru, anything can be attained. These 5 points, if we note down, we know the essence of the 4th shloka. Now we are entering into the 5th shloka. So what is that knowledge by which I become free? Knowing from the Guru, he comes and instructs us with authority, tattvamasi. This was discussed in the 1st, 2nd and 3rd shlokas. And in the 4th shloka, how this manifests has been explained. So then what is, who am I? By knowing which we become free. And if I am Brahman, how come I am not able to know I am Brahman? So that is where this 5th shloka explains. There are hundreds of opinions. If you ask a child, he tells you something. You ask an emotionally agitated person, he tells you something. You ask a philosopher, he tells you something. You ask an old man, he tells you something. Now, tells you means, I am not telling that they are all loudly proclaiming. It means our behavior shows what school of philosophy we are following. So, one important point is, do not get agitated by hearing the word philosopher. We are all philosophers, knowingly or unknowingly. When I am taking care of my body, I am what is called charvaka. When I am enjoying a beautiful movie or experiencing excruciating emotional pain, I identify with the sense organs. When my mind becomes restless, I am sukhi, aham sukhi, aham dukhi. I am happy, I am unhappy. He is not saying explicitly, I am a philosopher and I think I am the mind. But that's what he is or she is until that mood lost. I will restate that statement very soon. So there are people who have with different opinions. Now, we should not take it into our head that the person who is identifying himself is, say, for example, with the body or the sense organs or the mind or the prana or the buddhi, 24 hours, it is not that they are identifying only with that, because it is a changing phenomena. Early morning, when I am hungry and I am running after food, aham annagata pranaha. And afterwards, some scenery attracts me, keeps me spellbound, and so I am enjoying the experience of sense organs. I think that is my reality. So forth and so on. So we are changing our identity all the time, accepting one identity, that I am that pure consciousness. Even though 24 hours it is there, we are not identifying. In fact, we are not separating that pure consciousness from Chidabhasa. Chit is never separated from Chidabhasa. The whole spiritual life or spiritual sadhana is to separate Chidabhasa from Chit. Again, we all know what we are talking about. Chit means pure consciousness, known as Atman, known as Brahman. Chidabhasa means Jivatma. At different times, they are identifying with different experiences, and we have to be called that particular experience. But there are people who intellectually follow a particular type of philosophy, vehemently argue that truth is nothing but what they believe in, even though they themselves are changing all the time. I will explain it as we go on. Shankaracharya has summed up all these views into 6 categories. We will briefly discuss about them, and then says these are all called Vrishamvadinaha. Thoughtlessly, falsely, they argue vehemently that their school of philosophy alone is right and every other school of philosophy is completely wrong. And Vedantin confronts all of them, says all of you are wrong. In fact, you are none other than the Atman. That is the intention. But to know that you are the Atman, you will have to surrender yourself to the Guru. As I explained, surrendering to the Guru means you remove your own individual opinions and keep your body and mind open to whatever Guru gives. As Sri Ramakrishna so beautifully tells, when the star Swati is in ascendancy, the pearl worm, it keeps its shell open, pearl oyster, for a drop of rain that falls at that time. And once it receives it, it dives deep into the bottom of the ocean and doesn't come up until it has formed a pearl. So what does Ramakrishna mean? That means here is a seeker, genuine seeker, endowed with sadhana chatushtaya sampatti, and he obtains the grace of the God in the form of his Sadguru, and then the Sadguru gives him that Shravana. After Shravana, he does Manana, deep thinking, until the last vestige of doubt is completely eradicated from his mind, and then he tries to make that truth his own. Again, by the grace of the Guru, he will get it. Only by the grace of the Guru, that is very important for us to emphasize here. So, that is the only way. This is being emphasized in this particular 5th shloka very much. So let us now deal with these 6 types of philosophy. There are many more, but all of them have been comprised in these 6 schools of philosophy. The question that engaged the human mind from time immemorial is, what is the Atman? So first of all, we have to be clear about what is the meaning of the word Atman. Atman is that which is most intrinsic to you, innermost to you, and is nearest to you. Indeed, it is you. In other words, what am I? My real nature is Atman, and Atman is my real nature. I am the Atman, and Atman is me. Here is an interesting point. Nobody can deny his own existence. Even if somebody says, I don't believe in God, he has to assert, I am. Even to say that whether I exist or not, he has to be present. Even to say, I deny and I doubt, etc. Ramana Maharshi has got beautiful way of saying, you can doubt everything excepting yourself. Because if the doubter doubts about himself, the doubt itself will vanish instantaneously. Who is to doubt? First you have to exist, then only you can doubt or not doubt. So nobody can deny his own existence. But very few people can say, I know really who is myself. Since Atman is, it is very evident in the form of I am, I am. But what is the real nature of I am? And that very few people know. What do I mean by very few people? Only realized souls know what their true nature is. Everybody else fall into one of these six schools of philosophy. And when I say that, it means at different times, we identify ourselves with each one of these schools of philosophy, and that is how our whole life is spent. So there is something very interesting. What is my essential nature? Everybody, you ask everybody, people claim that they know themselves. But the fact appears to be that most people are completely ignorant about themselves. First proof, how do we know that we do not know about ourselves? Because if you know yourself, why do you waste so much of time visiting what they call in America shrinks? A shrink means a psychologist, psychiatrist. So who is a psychiatrist? He is a shrink. Why he is called a shrink? Because he shrinks your bank balance. Before you become all right, you find yourself okay, but you are completely bankrupt. There is every likelihood, again you will shrink into yourself, into your old state. If somebody claims he knows himself, he is mistaken. How? Here are some examples. When someone is walking, he is identifying himself with his legs, which is one of the karmendriyas. How do we know? Because after climbing a step, he says, ah, I cannot walk anymore. My legs are aching. That means he is identifying with what? The legs. Then, is he not identifying with the entire body? Not really. Because he says, my eyes are okay. My other organs are okay. Only my legs are aching. So what happens? As soon as he is offered a seat, he sits down and switches on the TV, and happily he is, then orders some Coca-Cola or some popcorn, and he goes on enjoying himself. But his legs are still paining. So at this moment, he is identifying only with that part of the body. Or some of us have got headaches. Some people unfortunately have migraine headaches. So their whole attention, most of their consciousness is identified, whatever is tied. Then when somebody is seeing something and they are absorbed in beautiful or shocking scenery, I am seeing. Now the eye has changed from legs to the eye. Now this person has identified himself with his eye, which is one of the Jnanendriyas, from Karmendriya to Jnanendriya. Then suppose somebody is asked, who are you? Yes, I am a professor, I am a teacher, I am a lawyer, I am a doctor. Now that is a profession. But what is he saying? I am a lawyer, etc., etc. So every time he is not saying 24 hours a day, I am a doctor. Nobody says my legs are aching all the time. Excepting, of course, you know, after 60, 65, people start suffering from continuous romantic pains. So that is a different issue. But most of the time, this changing identity is taking place. There is no clear-cut meaning for the word I. So one of the questions that comes is, supposing, why are you bringing all these things? What if I don't know whether I am the Atman? I know I am the body. I know I am my property. I know I am my family, etc. What do I lose? The answer is, if I don't know the Atman, my own nature, then the purpose of human life itself is defeated. That's why Hinduism has defined four goals by every intelligent, conscious human being. Dharma, Artha, Kama and Moksha. Whether we know it or not, this is called the spiritual goal. And we, as I mentioned many times, we are all standing on the moving escalator. So inevitably, evolution is taking place. We can stand for some time, but we cannot avoid, because life through tritapa, three sources of suffering, forces us to move forward whether we want it or not. But here, a beautiful statement I have come across. There is one thing common, every person, you know, most people, they go to astrologers and they also prepare a horoscope. Every person's horoscope is different. How long the person is going to live, what experiences is going to happen. But Vedanta tells something. It tells that every being is destined to know his own Swarupa, and there is no exception to this. Every person's horoscope is different, experiences are different, but one thing that is common to the whole of humanity, whether they are East or West, Hindu or non-Hindu, they are philosophers or non-philosophers, everybody has in the end, because each soul is potentially divine. Whether the willy-nilly, whether they believe or not, this evolutionary process will take them inevitably. So there is no exception to this. That is why we need to know who am I. Not only that, even if I don't know who am I psychologically or even physically, if I don't know who I am, that means what my body is, what are its limitations, capacities, then I have to go to the run to the doctor, pay heavy price, and then he will tell us, eat this, don't eat this, don't do this. And that differs from person to person, from child to a grown-up person, from man to woman, from each person. Similarly, if we do not know the nature of psychology, and that is why every psychologist is not a spiritual person, but every spiritual person is an expert psychologist, because spiritual sadhana is nothing but dealing with the mind, controlling the mind, and it is the mind which is the source of bondage, it is the mind which is the source of liberation also. And if he doesn't know what is the bondage, if he doesn't know what is the cause of the bondage, if he doesn't know what is the remedy for the, how to remove that cause of the bondage, then he will suffer heavily. Therefore, every spiritual sadhaka, he must become a great psychologist, and experience will teach him. Fortunately for us, there are wonderful books for laymen, and one of them I recommend very heavy, wholeheartedly, is About Ourselves by H. A. Overstreet. Most wonderful book. And there is one, I think, by Bernard Hart, The Psychology of Insanity. At least read these two books. We need to know, because if we don't know, we have to go through these troubles, problems, and so many circumstances. And so it is better to know so that we can confront them and even we can overcome them sometimes. There are different concepts about the Atman. And in this particular fifth shloka, Shankaracharya is summing them up. What he had really summed up in the Brahma Sutras, because the whole second chapter of the Brahma Sutras is dealing only with the different schools of philosophy and refuting them. And more importantly, the second chapter of the Mandukya Karika by that great soul called Gaudapada, which is called Vaitathya Prakarana, a chapter named as Non-Truth. The same elaborately it is dealt with. And of course, the commentator on this Dakshinamurti Stotram, Sureshwaracharya, in his Vartika called Manasollasa, deals with all these schools of philosophy, not very elaborately, but quite succinctly. We are only going to discuss what is called the important things. Now, these misconceptions about who we are has a technical name in Sanskrit, and this is called Adhyasa. Adhyasa means superimposition. Just as we superimpose in semi-darkness stands for what is called a little bit of knowledge, not much of knowledge. So we look at something and we superimpose and say, here is a snake. So that is well-known imagery in whole of Vedanta. Rajju, Sarpa, Bhranti. And this Bhranti is a delusion, is called Adhyasa. What is the Adhyasa means? Superimposition. What does superimposition mean? Mistaking one object as though it is some other object. That is called adhyasa. Several examples are given. Mistaking a desert for a mirage. Mirage means when a person sees mirage, he doesn't say it is a mirage. He says there is beautiful water. Only upon the dawn of knowledge, it becomes clear that it is a delusion. So when daylight comes, it becomes clear that this is a rope, this is not a snake. Similarly, when we go near a shell, it is not silver, but it is only a silver shell. That's a silver looking shell. Like that, so many examples are there. So what is wrong? Wrong thing is this superimposition brings terrible pain both for oneself as well as for other people. Simple example is, here is the CEO of an organization or president of a country, and he thinks he is all-knowing, and he superimposes the divine qualities upon himself. I know everything. And the result of it is millions of people literally die. One glaring example in history for this is how under the regime of Mao Zedong, millions of Chinese people just starved to death, all because he thought that his ideas are very scientific and he can grow lot of food through his what is called misconceived ideas of scientific way of adapting to agriculture. Of course, we say it is all the fate of the country. That's a different issue. But if somebody says, thinks that I know everything, he tortures his entire family. Not only tortures himself also. So many examples are there. So an adhyasa superimposition leads to inevitable, inescapable suffering. Now this adhyasa or superimposition, very interestingly, is done by two types of people. Common people and so-called very wise people called philosophers. A common man, you ask him, so what do you think you are? Oh, Swami, I am this body. And how do we know? Even the what is called common people, like a PhD person, is applying for a job. What does he do? He sends his CV. What is his CV? My name is so much. This is my name. These are my parents. I am a young man. I was born at this time. And I have got these qualifications. And I passed brilliantly. These are all belonging to what? To the body. And parents also body. He himself is body. I am a male or female. I am of such and such an age. Age belongs to whom? To you or to your body? To the body. And to his intellectual capacities. This is called superimposition. This is common people. They do not claim that we are philosophers. But there are revered, highly venerated thinkers, whether they are Charvakas, Epicureans, or even what is called Dvaitavadins, etc., who are highly revered, worshipped as incarnations of God, and they also fall under this terrible superimposition. So, it's funny, thinking people and non-thinking people both fall under this error. Then if everybody is supposedly to fall under this, what is called mesmerizing power of this delusion called superimposition, then whom to believe? Believe the scripture. Go to the scripture. Through the Sadguru, try to understand what the scripture is telling. Unlike a loving mother, the scripture will lead us. With this background, we'll enter into this fifth shloka. Deham pranamapi indriyanyapi chalam buddhincha shunyamapi viduhu. Stri bala andha jada upamahatu ahamiti bhrantaha brisham vadinaha. Maya shakti vilasa kalpita maha vyamoha samharine tasmai sri guru murtaye namayidam sri dakshina murtaye. He who removes all the terrible misconceptions created by the deluding play of Maya in those who are intellectually innocent, as a woman, a child, a blind man, or an idiot, and who consider the reality as their body, or their prana, or their senses, or their ever-changing intellect, or as a mere void, and through this error, declare them to be the only reality. To him, the divine teacher, who destroys this delusion in the form of my own guru, to that Sri Dakshinamurti, my obeisance, my prostrations. Slowly, we very simply, we will put these things together. And here also there is something a person may take offense, because Shankaracharya has used certain words. Even in Bhagavad Gita also we get it, what to speak of highly intelligent and devout Brahmins when women, Shudras and even worst of the sinners can get salvation by taking refuge in me. I had the painful experience of being confronted by the devotees of Sri Ramakrishna, some woman who says, why Krishna, being such an incarnation, denigrates women? So here also, that is there. Stri, Bala, Andha, Jada, Upamahatu, Ahamiti. We will deal with that. So what is the truth? To mention but a few of the very important landmarks in the investigation upon the reality. What is that investigation? The quest to know who I am. That is called Atma. When we say find out the Atma or Atma, you have to realize the Atma vavare drashtavyaha, shrotavyaha, mantavyaha, nididhyasitavyaha. Don't look up. The Atman is somewhere in the Mars, sitting there. Atma is my own self, deeply hidden. That is the problem God has created. So, there are six schools of philosophy and vehemently, fanatically propounding, trying to defend, quarreling among themselves. These six schools of philosophy are being louted out, talked loudly, each arguing with the other, I am right, you are wrong, etc. So we will deal with them a little briefly, because this is also a practical thing. We are not talking about intellectual discussions, because we all fall under that this one of the schools of these philosophies. But as I mentioned earlier, at different times, we become identified with different parts of our personality. First, so what is this? This is what is called Deham is one, Prana is another, Indriyani is another, Chalam Buddhim is one, Shunyam is another. But it includes the sixth one also. What is the first one? Dehatma Vada, Deha Atma Buddhi. I am the body. And last, as I mentioned, it also means whatever belongs to the body also. My house, my family, my son, my daughter, my wife, my parents, my relatives, my house, my bank balance, my job, my country, my religion, my language, my Indian sportsman. Because if there is a competition between Pakistan and India, every Indian is praying wholeheartedly, he never prays for himself, that let the Indian party win. This is all falsely placed. I am not saying praying is bad. I am saying that you use the same thing, apply the same thing for other issues also, for poverty and especially for finding out who you are. This is called Deha Atma Vada. What is it? Deha Atma is none other than body, consisting of this particular physical formation, and also included in it everything that belongs to it. My house, my property, my family. How do we know? Because when a mother sees her child in danger, this was what Swami Vivekananda quoted, that one day a mother was walking with her child and suddenly a lion confronts her, running after her child. Where do you think her place is? She will run in front of the child and confronts the lion. That means, what was she doing? She was identifying herself with her child and trying to protect herself, saying, let me live in the form of my child, even if I have to die in the form of this motherhood. So, there are people, for the sake of not giving up their purse, they are killed by what is called pickpockets or by robbers. New York is very famous. After 6 o'clock, do not move in the streets. So there are some who declares that this entire world, that means this changing body-mind complex that we experience in front of us, is the only reality. So an example is given, beautiful example. Pictures painted on a wall need no reality other than the wall. They are trying to misinterpret even to know that something is changing requires a changeless background. If the wall also is moving, where will you paint? That is the idea. Similarly, for the picture of this world and its experiences, there need not be any wall other than this body. Therefore, this body alone is the reality. All functions such as I am going, I am sitting, I am walking, and I am eating, I am fat, I am lean. These are all what? Conditions of the body. Therefore, the body alone is the reality. Who propounded this? A great philosopher called Charvaka. The word Charvaka means charu, walk, sweet talker. And his philosophy is summarized in one famous statement, Bhasmi bhutasya asya dehasya punaragamanam kutaha. Once this body is cremated and it turns into ashes, where is the question of its coming back? Because the body is the only reality. With the burning, the body vanishes, I vanish, and that is it. Therefore, what should be the philosophy of life? Renankritva gritam pibet. Take, borrow money and enjoy yourself, and then die happily before your debtors can catch you, creditors can catch you, and then where from are they going to realize their whatever they have given you? This is the materialistic philosophy, and in the West, in Greece, there were a philosophy called Epicureans. Charvaka was the earliest atheist in the history of humanity. The Hindu society did not ban his works. On the other hand, the society revered him as a sage because of the good values cherished by him. Though it rejected his ideas, he argued that the Atman is none other than body itself. So what is the logic he has given? There was a great scholar called Madhvacharya. He has summarized all the essence summary of all the schools. And this is called, Sarvadarshana Sangraha. That is the name of that book. And there is one particular section, it's called Charvaka Darshanam, the philosophy of Charvaka. What does he say? Aham sthulaha krishaha asmiti samanadhi karanyataha dehaha sthauliyadi yogacha sayeva atma nachaparaha. What it means is, atma is none other than the body, it is fat, and so I know I am fat, it is lean, thin, so I feel I am lean and thin. Aham sthulaha, I am fat, I am lean, krushaha. This every experience that the body goes through, I am saying, I am going through that experience. Therefore, the Atma is nothing but me. Therefore, the physical body is indeed Atman. There is no other Atman. Do not search for it. Do not waste your time. Rather, employ it in squeezing as much happiness as possible. If necessary, even by buy, borrow, or steal, by whatever means. These people identify themselves with the body as well as their possessions. And we have here a beautiful story illustrating this, illustrating the fact that there were wise people and there were also other wise people. There were Buddhas and there were Buddhus even in ancient times. Chandogya Upanishad, I think in the 7th chapter, we get the story of Prajapati declaring that he who realizes the Atman, all his desires are fulfilled. And two people, the representative of the Devas called Indra and the representative of all non-Devas called Virochana, they attend, they learn, and Virochana went away with his shared knowledge, body is nothing but the Atman, or the Atman is nothing but the body. Ever since, all those born in his lineage, they are called Vairochanas. We are all that Vairochanas. And this Charvaka Darshana is nothing but that. So this is what is being propagated. This truth is being expounded now. Sri Ramakrishna says, Kalikale Manush Annagata Prana. In this iron age, people are highly identified with their bodies. That is what Bhagavad Gita also says. Klesho adhikatarastesham avyakta asakta chetasam avyakta hi gatir dukham dehavadbhi avapyate. This is the first school. Second school, indriyanyapi. So, indriyas are the atma. What is their argument? They are a little advanced thinkers. And they contradict body is the atma. What do they say? Hey, you have a body. and you don't enjoy. What good is your body? And you want to enjoy? So you want to protect your body and you want to make the body even more fit, because without the help of your sense organs, both the organs of action as well as the organs of the knowledge. How you are walking, suddenly a snake is coming towards you. You have to tell your legs, and the legs will save you from the poisonous bite of that snake. Or you are thirsty and you see there is a river there, or there is a pool of water there, and your eyes will direct you towards that. So you are going towards that. Earlier times, as I mentioned in my earlier classes, you know, we have very little sense of history. All we, in the form of our ancestors, were all rotten corpse eaters. When civilization has not come, our people crudely formulated what is called how to kill elephants. Any animal that is dead, either killed by ourselves or killed by other animals, after some time it emits a foul smell. It is called decomposing smell. And that decomposing smell was an invitation. There is food here. Let us rush before other animals come and gorge ourselves. This was what we were doing. Because humanity did not learn how to cook. Now what happened? Very interesting. So these people used to rush there and then eat, gorge themselves, because they are not sure where their next meal is going to come from. Okay. Then something tremendous happened. Man discovered fire. That was one of the grandest, greatest discoveries in the story of human civilization. After that, it became easy for him. Meals become easily digestible. Easily, they can add also slowly salt, etc. Very, they can be made very tasty. How did he discover? Because there used to be natural fires in the forest. And many animals used to get trapped there. And then the animals used to die. And then these people, after the fire is out, they go there and started. They discovered the meat has become extremely soft, very malleable, and then they easily digestible. Even children or unhealthy people, sick people can eat very easily. And then he started storing the fire until he discovered how to make fire for himself. So that is how he lost that capacity to eat rotten food, which he could easily digest. Now he lost what is called immunity is lost. Why did the West suffer more than India? It is only one simple reason. Indians are more developed, more immunity because of the dirt, etc. Whereas the West protected themselves too much. They lost their immunity. Slight this thing has simply killed them in thousands and lakhs. It killed them. Anyway, I am not telling that it is only an example. What is meant is here that this indriyas, the eyes, the ears, the smell, sense of smell, legs, hands. What is the greatness of human being? Human hand. What can human hand do? It has got 5 fingers. Of all the parts of the body, the one thing that is most important is the thumb of the hand. If thumb is lost, everything is lost. So the animals also, they have thumbs, but they have not learned how to use them. Now what is the point? It is the sense organs. Mere maintenance of the body is useless. Therefore, my real nature, my ananda, my security depends upon the sense organs. Therefore, my real nature is nothing but indriyas. So, when the sense organs do not function, the body is practically dead. When they function, the body not only functions, but it gives a higher sense of happiness, and it also removes any type of suffering, etc. So these one school of thoughtful people concluded that the reality is the sense organs and not the body. In the presence of the sense organs alone, life is in the body. As seen daily, I see, I hear, I smell, I taste, I touch, etc. This sense reality theory, Indriyatmavada, was proved hollow by still subtler thinkers. They observed that even when the sense organs are not functioning, as in, for example, deep sleep or unconsciousness or swooning, the vital activities that constitute the physiological function continue, and therefore prana is the reality. Higher than the sense organs is the prana. Even if a person is blind, even if he is deaf, he is not able to move, but so long as prana is there, and that man feels happy. So even if doctor says, with operation you will live 3 months, without operation you will die in 3 days. What is your choice? And he inevitably chooses an operation, because even to live as a non-functional being for 3 months is much, much more acceptable, agreeable than to die after 3 days. Therefore, prana, pranatmavadi. This is the third. Prana is the atma. Atma is nothing but prana. And how this is also sublated later on in the other 3 schools of philosophy, we will talk about it in our next class.